And we can fart around and test things as content.
So this, can you hear the music?
Nope.
Nope. Okay. I think it's like not picking up from the microphone.
Can you send me the link?
Yes. Yes, I can. It's
I might be able to play it in the background and maybe adjust it so it doesn't interfere too much. The only concern I have is it would cut my mic or some shit, but we'll see.
Yeah, that's what my thought was. But if you,
I mean, it shouldn't, because I have a separate source for background stuff for when we do want to play something from the internet. That's how I test, is our Twitch audio going through?
Okay. It's on the grills only planning.
Okay.
Because I think it'd be nice. Like, I might just listen to it if I can't hear it. Either if it only goes through like Twitch or something, I'm just gonna have it playing.
Okay. Planning.
Ah.
This. Yes. Take me to the link. I trust her.
If you're a content creator of any kind, you need to start using Artlist for your videos. I'm Ryan. I'm a filmmaker, host, and creator of Film Riot, a YouTube channel with almost 2 million subscribers that has been teaching filmmaking for 12 years. We've been using Artlist, a royalty-free music licensing platform that helps us produce a lot of content fast. With the unlimited license, I download as much high-quality music and sound effects as we need, and with the useful category filters, I can easily find what I'm looking for. So if you need royalty-free music, you need Artlist.
Oh. Okay. It's running. That's a little weird. My audio shouldn't be working. Here's where I try not to break it.
I can hear that too.
Yep.
Yeah. I could hear it. It's a little loud.
Yeah. There's loopback. Okay, hold on. I'm gonna skip the update for now. Jeez, bitch. Why? This card crumb. I'll turn down
that up.
I turned down Chrome.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely coming through lower by looks. Like, the music stuff stays way down in the green at around 40, and our voices...
Are you on push
to talk? Test for everyone else, but go up into the yellow.
Are you on push to talk? Because I'm only hearing music when you're talking.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not. Let me turn this up. Oh, because that's my Yeti. Let me turn that up. It's hard to do with gloves. Okay. Can you hear me over the music now?
Yeah, I can hear you fine, but the music isn't playing unless you are talking.
Okay. Discord.
If we don't want to bother, then yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of a cool idea.
I know there's probably a way to like have it just as a separate track. I just don't know how to do that with.
Oh. Oh.
There might be a way to put it in Discord. But I don't know.
Input sensitivity. Let me. I mean. Hold on. Discord doesn't have access to system wide keyboard input required for push to talk. So I can't switch to push to talk. I can't.
Okay.
And even though, which is weird, because even though Loopback has Chrome audio running separately, hold on. We got a separate disc. Here we go. How's that?
Nope, still not playing unless you're talking.
Okay. That's because I have all the audio on this end feeding into the Discord so that it'll come out the stream.
Okay. Maybe you can put... That was loud. Maybe you can put it in a post or something. It's a little...
Yeah, like, I can do that. I can drop a bed track after the fact, no problem.
Yeah, I know there's a way to, like, put in a bot or something that's playing music, but I don't know how to make that.
Yeah, and... Yeah, if we were doing this ahead of time, I definitely... could have found a way, but the only way right now is if, I mean, I could turn it on my phone and just have it playing next to me, or one of, well, no, that would still not do this thing, but one of you could do that. You could have it playing next to you, and it would just be in the background.
I'll give it a try. Let's see if this works.
If your mic's open all the time.
I think mine is. I don't think mine's tuned to do push to talk. Where would it be? History?
Do, 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 do. Where did my notes go? That's not the right notes at all. There they are. Bright light looks way better with my makeup. My bags under my eyes don't show as much.
Can you hear that music at all? Is it only when I'm talking that it comes through?
I don't even hear it when you're talking.
I don't hear it.
Even if I put my phone right up next to my mic?
No.
Weird. It's playing.
That's weird. And we're going to hear our cats and all their kinds of annoying shit. We can't hear something we want. Come on.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll drop in a bread track after.
Okay.
So there will be spooky music. Are you ready?
Ready.
We got perspective, we got the cool, we got the muscle, and you know we effing rule. We are the Geek Grills, we are the Geek Grills, alright! We got the know-how, we got control, we got the knowledge, and we tell you how it rolls. We are the Geek Grills, we are the Geek Grills, alright! We are the Geek Grills, we are the Geek Grills, tonight! Hell yeah.
Hello and welcome to episode 212 of Geek Grills. Geek Grills podcast supported primarily by our patrons. You can find us at patreon.com/grills. I'm Linda and I'm joined by my co-host Amber.
Hello.
Hello.
Also known as Jessica Rabbit tonight. And Ray.
Hello.
Who is your character again? Because you only call her best girl.
Zo
from Monster Prom.
Prom. Yep.
And I have donned pink diamond tonight. I even put on the pink contact lenses for everybody. So when I had them on earlier, before makeup, my husband said I had vampire eyes, so
Hi.
So tonight,
I think they look good. I can see the pink when you get close to your cam.
Yes. Here, let me get up real close, everybody. Hi. we don't really have like a topic tonight. Tonight is our Halloween stream. Obviously, we have dressed up. Well, to people who are watching, we have dressed up. For those who are listening, we're wearing costumes and wigs and whatever amalgamation of pantyhose and stuffing that Ray came up with, which looks amazing, by the way. I'm sure we'll put up pictures.
Yeah.
Also, some of us are drinking, so this is liable to get real hilarious real fast. We're either going to maybe play a little spooky game, or we're going to tell, like, our favorite ghost stories, or just our favorite, maybe, like, Halloween shenanigans of times past. I'm sure we have a couple of those. But this is just kind of be a loosey-goosey talk about things and maybe get a little lubricated. I, in fact, have Kittisol mixed with raspberry vodka. And if you don't know what Kittisol is, then you need to go check out our Brewmaster episode, because we talked to the lady that brews that.
I am drinking in my Sugar Skull Sally wine glass.
Ooh.
A new blend I found tonight. I got some wine. I couldn't decide. I have, like, pumpkin spice eggnog, and I was like, well, I could get some rum. So it's really late at night to be drinking that much sugar. And then I was like, well, I have cider, but I can't rely on the boys not drinking the whole gallon before I get home. So I stopped at BJ's, and they had a new Nighthawk Black. I really like the Nighthawk Black Bodo boxes, and they make a red blend that is so close to the Apothic Dark I like that I usually just grab that. Because at BJ's, it's like $15 a box. But they had this new one, and it's a Nighthawk Black. It's a dark Argentinian Malbec. And the box was like orange and black with a big dark bird. And I was like, oh, like, so they made me a Halloween wine. I'll get that. And I used to drink Malbecs for a long time. And I know Argentinian, like, they make great Cabernets and they make great Malbecs. So I took a risk because the last Malbec I bought was awful. So I just opened this and it's good.
I am not drinking because I'm not feeling 100%, so I just have boring water. Because if I drink, I might pass out.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
We need you for the dream. And also, we don't want you to pass out.
No.
That would be awkward. I think that's against terms of service, actually, yes. To pass out drunk.
So we're going to see where the stream takes us. There is one piece of hair at the back of my wig that is just doing what it wants to. All right, never mind.
Which is why, actually, for everybody who read our socials, I did have listed that we were going to play Bluebeard's Bride, and Ray is the experienced person running the game. And not quite up to that, so we're not doing that. But...
Like, I've played Bluebeard's Bride, but I have never run it, so I could possibly... run it, but I've never done it before, so...
We're also short a person. Like, I checked and it's 3 to 5 players, and I'm like...
Oh.
We are short one.
Well, maybe we can invite somebody and plan on doing it another time. Because I know I had heard, Ray and I talked about it, that you guys recorded gameplay of it for Glitter Dice or something, and then the recording was bad, so that episode never got published. Yeah. And I was like, well, this would be a great opportunity. We can have that happen for you guys.
Yeah, we would... Bluebeard's Bride is a really awesome game, so I'm a little sad we're not playing it, but if we're going to do it in the future, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, no, I'm all for doing it in the future. I just... Yeah.
And I was super excited when you sent me the link, and I could just get the PDF.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I didn't spend the homework time I should have looking it over, but that possibility exists, and I will put it in the show notes for our people.
The hardback book is lovely.
It's beautiful. That is one of the most beautiful, printed games I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's really, really nice. And I do have an additional book that Joey was nice enough to gift me. So I do like it. It is lots of fun. It's lots of different ways to play it. I could just go over like the basics of it.
Yeah, we
could do that when we hit topic time.
Yeah.
All right, so on that, what have y'all been up to? Amber?
Well, the mugs I was talking about, I'm not even drunk yet. that my husband and I painted on that date night home when our kid had COVID, got fired. So we got this awesome skull that Rob made that he never turns on his cam for work meetings. And he totally turned on his cam and was just like sipping out of the skull. And very nice. I made, and mine's fired, and it turned out pretty good. It's an octopus. And he put another coat on the inside for me and kind of made a mess of the black, but that's okay. But they're actually usable, food safe, because they were glazed. And we have spooky mugs that we are going to just, you know, keep in a separate cupboard and wash ourselves until the kids move away, because they suck. They break everything.
That was like professional quality. Like, I'm not going to lie, that looks really good.
Yeah, I loved how the tendril becomes the handle. That's so cool.
Yeah, it's like, I was worried it was going to be like super, because it is kind of small, like I can't put two fingers in, but it is functional in a big, good size mug. I thought the guy made the pottery that we, or the ceramic that we have been getting from this place and painting and firing and stuff. And then when I went to peel off the price sticker last time, it said made in China under it. So I was like, well, I can just order my own. But you know what? I don't mind supporting. It's a really cool local business. Mm-hmm. You know, and you pay one price. The price on there is you pay that and you have to, you know, buy some glazes, but he's got little individual things so you can just get small amounts. And then it includes the dropping it off and he fires it. So it's a great model. I don't mind supporting that. And it's, and it's half price if you go paint it at home. Because okay. He doesn't have to like sit there and attend you in the whole, in the studio space and provide mm-hmm. all the glaze. So that was nice to see that they turned out good and there's no little breaks in it so that I can actually drink out of it. The costume planning has been real. Oh, I had no idea what I was going to be or do. Mm-hmm. And then my friend Lori bought this dress last year when I dragged her and her daughter to burlesque. Mm-hmm. And she's always been kind of like, because she sees me sing Jessica Rabbit, Why Don't You Do Right at karaoke and stuff. She's like, you would look so much better in this dress. Like, you actually have tits. And she keeps, like, I'm going to lend you that dress. And then she brought it, well, she gave it to my husband to lend to me, and I tried it on. She's like, I knew it! Oh, my God! So it's like, oh, all right. I guess I'm going to do the thing. And I went, and I got a red wig, and fake eyelashes, and purple gloves. And I went to Goodwill, and I got red shoes. They had a perfect pair, but it was a size too small. So I ended up with, you know, whatever, the red shoes.
Yeah.
But it's slit really high. Like, really high. The other thing I had to deal with was getting, like, these stick-on fake bra things. And they work okay. I've used them before, but the dress is so skimpy I still might have to shorten the straps a little before I'm ready to prance about in public and sing. And I better win that damn costume contest, because I'm gonna get up and sing that song in this outfit, and if that's not commit to the bit. I finished Boyfriend Dungeon, or Dungeon Yay! Boyfriend, whatever the hell. I have only, full disclosure, finished one game before in my entire life. It was Lego Harry Potter, I think. Like, I've just never completed a game. I completed this. I leveled all of the companions, the girlfriends, boyfriends, and the cat, to the highest level I could get before you continue the last part where you can't save anymore. And then I ran the final boss, and I actually ended the game, and it was good. It was neat. And I might play it a little more just to run that last final boss I mean, the ending isn't going to change much. I did have to run it twice because it glitched. It was like, hey, cuz, you gotta go home tomorrow and get on the plane and come with me and put on a blindfold. Everyone's gonna meet us. And it was like, you get to the beach, you can hear it, and then you take off your blindfold and everyone is there, and then the screen went black. I'm like, that doesn't seem right. Like, what the fuck kind of ending is that? So I went back and I load up again and I ran the boss fight again, and then it went through where, like, there was the actual party and everyone says goodbye to you before you fly off.
Aww.
So at least there was that. Oh, I didn't want it to end that way. I wanted the one character I actually went ahead and said I love you to like, I didn't want to leave. Because, of course, I fell for, like, the broody, gothy, pretty mage weirdo with the literal white raven. Which is a recurring theme in my life that our regulars know. So, yeah, that's what I've been up to.
What about you, Randy?
Working on this ridiculous costume.
You better wear that to, like... I'm expecting you to wear that at Winterfest. I'm just saying.
I think I probably will. I might have to do something different with the eyes because I forgot how irritating it is to have cream makeup around my eyes.
Yeah.
I'm just...
Like, day one, we're doing the easy Aziraphale and Crowley. But then, yeah, you know, day two, we're both going to do, you know, separate things.
I could totally freak everybody out, but... yes, this is... I've got most of it from the waist up.
Ah!
I am still working on some attachments. The only thing that I don't have is... This is supposed to be an eye gem that's supposed to be on, like, about here. But I have to cut this deeper. But I don't want to cut through the mask, so you might just not see my eye.
Mm-hmm.
And then, oh God, I keep getting tangled up in this cord. This is one of the other eyes that is going to go on the leggings. And then I have my crappy mouth that I have started but haven't done anything with. But it's taken a lot of time just to do the meagerness that I have. And a majority of it has been this headpiece and, like, going in with the suckers and the
that
dot.
That headpiece is awesome, though.
It's really fantastic. Light.
I mean, it's made of pantyhose. I'm assuming it's pretty light.
Yeah, it's just stuffed pantyhose, and I put some wire in so I can move some of them.
Prehensile but... tentacles for the win.
Yeah.
I know it's their character design, but I love the eyeball in the middle of it.
Oh, yeah, no, I love it.
Hello.
Yeah, this one I might leave as it is. It's supposed to be more like the green one that I had just shown. And with the vertical pupil, but I like this because it also has the iridescent, so it already kind of glows.
Yeah.
And that was just like a last minute grab at Michael, so that worked out. Yay! Yeah, the other thing, I was started getting back into doing 30 minutes a day workout, except for today, because no. No today. And then I got to see my godmother on Sunday, which was super nice. She came down, to go to, visit her parents' grave, and they're right up the road from us. And she's never been to the Battery, which is the little part outside of, the Braves Stadium. But she's been to the stadium. So we took her for like a little walk and had lunch out there. And that was really sweet to also just hang out with her without my folks. Because usually she lives with them now. So that was just really nice.
Good.
How about you, Linda?
I just got back from my Disney trip. Literally yesterday. we did two of the parks. It was really nice. The crowds were a level 2/3 both times we were there. Out of 10, by the way.
Oh, wow.
So they were really light. Disney has a very enforced mask mandate. Like, anytime you go indoors, you have to put a mask on. They will yell at you.
Oh, good.
So I was, I felt pretty safe. I still got my rapid test today, so I will know by tomorrow morning if I need to quarantine or if I'm okay.
Yeah.
Most of the things I got there were pins. I will, all of those pins on that board right there on that, those are all new.
Oh, wow.
So, I, you know, spend a little money on pins, but pins are my thing that I get from Disney. I don't trade pins any other time other than when I go to Disney World. The only other, besides gifts for Ray and Scott for taking care of our cats, the only other kind of, like, big thing I got was this bag.
That's cute!
It was at the, there's the outlet stores. There are Disney stores at the outlet stores, and they have, like, the previous year's stock. So this is probably from 2020 or 2019, but I don't care because it's adorable, and it's mine now. It became my my souvenir bag.
Very cool. Can't imagine how much leftover stock they had from 2020. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I'm actually closing.
Well, they, like, I could tell, having been in the store previously, that they had less stock than usual. So I think that they may be stretching out what they have. Like, this bag may actually be from 2021, but they needed something in the store. Which is great for, you know, people that are looking for a deal. But, like, all the things that I got in the parks were, I basically was doing all the pin trading in the parks, because you can get pins from the store, the ones that are, like, from the previous year for cheaper. And you can also get, well, I have a subscription called Mickey Monthly that gives me 2 pins every month, so I had a bunch to just trade. Because they come and, you know, maybe I don't like them as much because, you know, I didn't get to pick them. They're random. So, I actually had quite a few to trade. And that was a lot of fun. Imagine, because we
usually have, like, specific trade spots, right?
Yes, they've changed it now. It used to be that all the cast members, or almost all the cast members, had a lanyard that you could go up to them and say, hey, I'd like to trade. But they've changed that now, to help with sanitation. They have big pin boards, or mystery pin boards, where all the pins are hidden. You just pick a box, and they'll pull the box out of the board, and you get whatever pin's in there. Mm-hmm. Also, you can do 2 at a time per pin board. So you go find a pin board, and I got the secret, here are all the pin board locations from a lovely park cast member, who, like, I walked up to her, because I was going to all the little kiosks where I saw pins, and I was like, do you have a pin board, because they're all over the park. And finally she was like, here, and she showed me the map with all the locations circled, and I took a picture of it, and I was just like hitting, and that was Epcot, I was hitting every single one of them.
They should really put that in the app, like, there's that tour app so that you can see the ride weights and all that kind of stuff.
You would think it wasn't there. They did have it in the map. In the map proper, they would have a little thing that says Disney pin trading, but not all of them would have the boards when you went, because I think it changed per day, and she had the most updated map. But that was a lot of fun, because it was a scavenger hunt for me, because I was just like, gotta go find the trading pins.
Did you have any specific ones you were looking for?
There's a couple. I was looking for, there's these little teacups that have the princesses in them. I didn't find any of those, but I did get almost the entire set of these villain masks. So they're new. I think that year or last year. And this guy at one of the pin stations had 4 of them on his board. And you're allowed to trade 2 at a time. So I traded two, and because Matthew was with me, he traded two, quote unquote.
Gotcha. Cheater.
And then the guy was like, because one of the pins I traded was a Scar pin. And he was like, ah, yes, that's my actual boss. You know, everyone says we work for the mouse, but I work for this guy. And I laughed, you know, and he went,
we don't say hey. The mouse, we say the rat.
Anyway, but yeah, no, but he was like, hey, eh, and like tossed a pin out from under his counter, which was the fifth pin in the series. So I got all five of the pins. There's two completer pins that go in that set, but I got the main ones. And just from one guy, because he happened to have all of them.
That's cool.
I love Disney. It's cool. Disney
it's cast. Really nice. I like magical moments at Disney. It gives me life.
I tell you, having worked there, we love doing those things so much. Like, it's stories for the rest of our lives. I've made a friend in town here, and he used to work for Disney World, and we can still trade stories all the time. And whenever we have a bad customer service experience, we feel like, no, we know what the right thing to do was.
Yeah.
Can I show you my cool fake pin?
Ooh!
Oh, that's cute!
That's awesome!
I don't care it's if it's focusing. Fake, it's adorable.
I mean, they've got masks. It's Jack and Sally with masks. I have a couple fake ones just because they were so up my alley. I went ahead and got them anyway.
I was super happy because I saw a lot of the, I don't even know what you would call them. They had a lot of rainbow and bi and
cool.
Pins like that. Yeah. Identifier pins? I don't know what you would call them, but...
LGBTQ plus
pins. Right. They literally had a bunch of ones in the shape of Mickey Mouse that were the flag colors.
It's all just different shades of pride?
Yeah, it was all different shades of pride. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
So I was really happy to see that. And there's a picture that I put up that they actually have a picture that's the mouse gloves doing a heart. And I got a picture of me right next to it doing a heart. And in the heart is a rainbow. So
you know what? I think the Mickey Gloves heart is an emoji in the Disney Emojis game that you can get.
Very cool.
I wouldn't doubt it. I have a lot of other things. We had a really good time. The days that we didn't go to the parks, obviously we were there for a whole week. So we stayed at the condo. The condo had a three pools to choose from.
Wow.
Beautiful. The weather down there, it was like in the low 80s for most of the week. And we also did putt-putt. So we had a good time. And it's the first vacation we have had in 2 years. So
it is a great time to go down there.
Yes.
I always recommend people. I'm like, go October, November, Thanksgiving, whatever, when kids are in school.
Yeah, go
when there's not lines and the weather is tolerable.
Yep. Yeah, go when school is in. The actual best time to go is about February. You just have to be careful because it actually does get cold in Florida.
Yeah.
That's something we learned.
Yeah.
But... you know, we have
the slowest time, but it's not weather-wise necessarily the best time.
Yeah.
I forgot something to mention.
Oh, that's go ahead.
So did I.
Dune!
Oh, yeah. Dune!
Like, how did I forget Dune? Oh, my gosh. We went and saw that real quick at the IMAX, and it was amazing. It is so good.
It is so good. I watched it at home.
We watched it we've gotten halfway through it again at home, with the subtitles, because, you go to IMAX, you're experiencing it, and I'm feeling everything. I'm not necessarily hearing everything.
Mm. Yeah, but we watched it at home, and Rob, because of the scope, he was so struck by the scope of the ships.
Yes.
That he kind of wants to go see it in the theater.
Yeah, Matthew went and saw
it. I highly recommend the theater if you can, because it was gorgeous.
Yeah, Matthew went and saw it in IMAX when we were down in Florida. He was like, do you want to go? I was like, Dune's not my thing. And he went and he came back and he was like, it was amazing.
It was really, really good. And they got greenlit for the second part.
Yeah.
So
I would hope yay. So.
I need it. I need it yesterday.
Me too, because I mean, I'm not a big Dune. Like, I saw the old movies, but I didn't read the books and everything. And I'm so into the cultural, political, anthropological end of things that this one only kind of touched on, and I know is going to go deep in the next one, and I'm anxious for that.
Yeah, because it's like they cut out right when they meet up with the Freeman, and you're just like, this is the part of the book where it starts to get really, really good. I mean, it's already good. Like, it was a required reading for dating my husband, so I always have it I always find Dune very amusing, but I liked it. He gave me that and The Hobbit to choose from, and I could not get into The Hobbit, but I'm like, I like this. This is... So I read through the first book. I haven't read through the others. I actually want to reread the first book again, just because, like, oh man, it's been almost 20 years. I know I've forgotten some stuff, and other parts I didn't, like... And I like the little stuff. Like, there's no there's no real, like... It's a lot of show, don't tell, which I appreciate. You're assumed to know things, but even if you don't know everything, you can kind of catch some stuff. Like, eventually, Paul is going to become Muad'Dib, which is the mouse. So you see, like, the little desert mouse, like, just twice, kind of foreshadowing that as he's learning about Arrakis. And I'm just, every time I saw a mouse, I was like, yay! Or like little glimpses
of
the
sandworm. Yeah, and I didn't understand that connection quite. They didn't make it super clear.
No.
Like, my husband explained a couple things to me that he didn't need to. And I was like, no, I got that. No, I got that from the movie. Like, I understand what's going on. What I don't understand is why, although it should have been obvious, like, why is the Emperor purposely basically setting up this Civil War bullshit when he's in control of this? And it's like, oh, yeah, he's a paranoid, you know, I should have known. Big, powerful, rich dictators do that kind of shit all the time because they're paranoid. And I guess that was obvious. But he was explaining little things that I thought they portrayed perfectly fine in the movie for, you know, I'm kind of a noob to it because, I mean, I watched the one with Sting forever ago. But that was just action-oriented. But, you know, like I said, I am super interested in all the political intrigue and the stuff with the mothers and the religious background and the history, the culture
so
of the
much
Fremen
more with
and
Bene
learning
Gesserit.
About it.
I love the Bene Gesserit. I was, which is the female, all-female mm-hmm. religious order. And, like, actually rewatching it with Scott, I'm like, that is the reason why I love Vidachi, the Fate Witches from the Seven Seas series, because they're just the Bene Gesserit. They're women with power, the power of tarot and fate, and they pull the threads, and they always wear these beautiful veils in darkness, and I'm like, that's
I actually
my aesthetic.
Was watching a YouTube the director did explaining that scene with the test.
Yes.
And how they set that up and why, and that was fascinating too, and I don't usually deep dive like that. I'm definitely going to watch it again.
I am enjoying watching it with the subtitles just to get more little bits that I might have missed earlier. So, okay, I'm done screaming
no,
about
okay.
Dune.
I mean,
but you should totally see Dune. You will enjoy
totally
Dune.
See Dune. There's a really funny conversation that was going on Facebook where, like, my husband posted how great it was, and a lot of our female friends are like, but, I mean, stay.
But Duncan Idaho, Jason Momoa.
I'm like, me too, but this is a better movie by a lot.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, you guys know who Justin Robert Young is.
Mm-hmm.
And enough that you've seen him.
Mm-hmm.
So Jury tweeted the other day, he was like, man, sometimes the world makes Halloween just too easy. Because the dad, the king in that, looks so much like Jury. Like, the same pattern of silver fox going on in the hair. Like, it's funny to see the tweet because he's got a picture of him in it. And, like, yeah, it just looks like Jury's profile picture.
I sense cosplay in his future.
Right? It's like, well, this is too easy. I'm like, yeah. And it reminded me to go tell all the women who were... Because I went back to that post and they were like, well, okay, well, how was Momoa then? How hot was he in this? And how was, you know, Isaac's in it and stuff? And I was like, all right, Momoa's Momoa.
Mm-hmm.
I mean...
So much fan service for the ladies.
You could only do so much, though. I missed his smile. Like, this character was so serious that it was less... over-the-top, sexy, raw Momoa, because his big, giant, open smile is part of a sex appeal for me. But I was like, but Isaac's, like, was all the Silver Fox. So, don't stay away because of your sting crush. You'll be fine.
You'll be fine.
One of my favorites is when Momoa shows up. He plays Duncan Idaho, which I love Duncan. Duncan's a great character. He's the, you know, you read a book and you're sometimes like, oh, that's the I want to be character that's been put in. That's Duncan Idaho. Like, that is every person's, like, I want to be that awesome badass who's just funny and cool. I just, like, the scene where he first runs to Paul, and he just gets crouched down low, and it just reminded me of the meme where he's coming up behind the other person at some, like, red carpet gala. And I'm just like, it's the exact same pose, and it's just perfect. It's just... Also, Hans Zimmerman, soundtrack, oh my gosh.
Yes. I found myself mentioning that several times this week. Like, the credits rolled, it said Hans Zimmer, and I was like, oh... Wow, yeah, I probably actually could have pegged that, and it was a perfect, perfect choice for the music and setting all those moods, and I didn't pay attention to who did the sound effects, and I want to go look at that, because I was so relieved when they were using the, what are they, Omnicopter, what's the name of the dragonfly plane?
Yeah, the Omnicopters, or something like that.
Yeah, Rob... knows the name of them, but yeah, there's these ships and they look like and then work like dragonflies, and when they had the first scene with a couple of them flying through the atmosphere, I was just waiting for it, because that fucking pod racer noise, that was a cool sound effect the first time I heard it in Star Wars, and then it's been overused in sci-fi to death. It's behind every frickin' machine and ship and vehicle for years now, and I was like waiting and dreading that moment. I was like, I'm gonna hear it in the mix of this sound, and they didn't. I was so relieved. I was like, okay, because that would have pissed me off enough to take me out of at least 5 minutes of the story.
And I guess
sorry, I know it's really nerdy, but like,
I like Hans Zimmer, so I might go see it just for the soundtrack.
The soundtrack is fantastic, and it's interesting. Instead of just in the background, it effectively sets the stage and sets moods when there aren't even words happening.
Yeah, I was gonna say, did you see the new Blade Runner? What was it, 2039?
Yeah,
or... I did. Okay, you know, like the vastness and kind of the drones.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much like that, but more alien-esque.
Okay.
So, if you were into that soundtrack, you will enjoy this soundtrack.
Fair enough.
Oh, and we're spoiling the shit. I'll put a thing on the podcast of Dune, because it hasn't been out very long, but that was another thing that was in the soundtrack. The use of the bagpipes was super interesting to me. Like, where and how they used them. It wasn't your standard reels or anything, but it was definitely bagpipes. I mean, they showed bagpipes in part of it, but he used it as a reprise, and it was like, that's how you know when it's the good guys. I was like, I mean, that's a very white thing to say, but
good
like,
guys.
Definitely use that as a musical cue for the good guys.
So we're not going to touch on the stormtrooper symbolism of their uniforms, or the fascist of like the bull and the bullfighter,
well,
and like the freaking
eagle
sigil.
Yeah, but he was trying to do better
for...
than the previous generation. Like, he's still, the motivations are changing.
Do we need to do a spoiler episode?
We'll do an episode about it. How about that?
I will happily do a Dune
episode. We're way off Halloween. Sorry.
We'll do a Dune episode. That'll be in the future.
We'll call it, like, spoiling the rest of Dune.
Yeah. All right, so.
Oh, the other thing I missed that I did this week is got my back tattoo finished.
Yay!
Yay!
My big ass dragon.
Appropriate.
Yeah, I forgot to put it in my calendar. Ran to get batteries because we didn't have enough for two controllers, and apparently Ark is couch co-op, and we were going to have some quality time gaming, and I got to the Family Dollar, and I got a text from my tattoo artist. He's like, hey, I was just wondering if you're going to make it today. I'm like, fuck. Oops. All right, Rob, go try Ark by yourself. I'm going to get my tattoo finished. I came home and Rob was punching logs in this game and had already died a lot. Apparently Ark is hard.
So, we were going to play Game of Bluebeard's Bride, but as we stated before, we're short a person, and our GM, who has run before, isn't feeling up to it, which is perfectly fine. So, we're just going to go over it real quick so that you guys can know when we decide to play it, what it's all about.
Yep.
Beautiful book. Beautiful artwork. Mm-hmm. We'll probably put a link in the notes to...
I've already put a link in the chat, and I will put a link in the show notes.
Yeah. Yep, it is Magpie Games, mm-hmm. and the whole... it is based loose... Well, yeah, it's based off the Bluebeard's Bride fairy tale. Or, you know, Bluebeard, he's this strange guy, but, like, got a blue beard, marries a girl, gives her the keys to the house, and basically says, this is all yours, except for one room. Don't go into this one room, and everything else is yours. So, you know, for a while, this is just the fairy tale. So for a while, the girl, like, enjoys it. She's going through the castle. She's come from a peasant background, so now she's like, oh man, I'm royalty, I get to be spoiled. But that curiosity just gnaws at her. Until eventually, she breaks down, uses the key, and in the fairy tale, it's a murder room.
It's all the previous brides. It's all the previous brides, and they're all dead and hung on the walls and on the floor.
It's a grim fairy tale.
Very, very grim fairy tale.
And then Bluebeard, she's like, oh god, and like locks the door, except a single drop of blood catches on the key, staining it. And she can't get it off the key.
No matter how hard she tries, she cannot get the stain off the key.
So and he comes home.
I think Bluebeard had like gone on a trip or something, and then he comes home.
Yep, he has gone on a trip. He comes back. He asks for the keys. She turns the keys over. He checks that one key. Looks at her. It's like, you did the one thing I said not to do. And she goes and joins the rest of the girls in the room.
There's actually two versions of this story. There's the older version where she is killed and joins the rest of the girls in the room. But the newer, quote-unquote, newer version, which is still very, very old, she begs for time to pray. And she goes up to the tower, and she knows her brothers are going to come visit her soon. And she's stalling, using this time to pray for her immortal soul, to wait for her brothers to come. And at the very last second, she sees them riding over the horizon, and they come and save her. But that's the newer version. The older version is she dead.
That makes sense, because with most grim tales, as many people don't realize, they were super dark and awful. Actually, I just finished watching Tales Grim and Dark, I think it's called. Have you guys seen this? It's an animated series. And I don't know if they're going to do other ones, but it was an entire series. It's animated, and it was Hansel and Gretel. But it was Hansel and Gretel as the protagonist, and these cursed people cursed to be crows until they tell the full story, are telling the story. And they go through several... this whole adventure of dark, macabre, awful... I mean... the story with the warlock who's stealing girls' souls and turning them into birds. And, like, Gretel actually, like... there's all kinds of stuff. I mean, Gretel in the series, like, cuts her finger off to free the souls of, like... there's another thing where the boys' souls are trapped somewhere. Like, they keep basically trotting through other little grim tales, mm-hmm. but leaving all the dark bits in. And it's really good. And the whole premise of it is, all right, everybody, y'all think these fairy tales are like cute little stories with fairies in them, but they're actually really dark and awful. And that's kind of how they start. It doesn't have gore. They always switch to like, no, do the drawings for the gory part. I think both of you would like the series very much. And it popped into my head because the whole Bluebeard thing, because there is that trope happens at one point in the story where there's just the blue room that you're not supposed to go in.
Yeah, like I freaking love like Grimm's fairy tales. I had the book growing up, and like, and then when I found like Fables by Bill Witherston, Vertigo released Fables, and it's just modern fairy tale characters living in this little in New York City, and I highly recommend it. It's old
very
now because it came out like 2000,
but
Bluebeard is in it. He's also in The Wolf Among Us Telltale game an NPC. So,
but Bluebeard's Bride, basically, it's going through that time when you are Bluebeard's Bride. The entire party that is playing is Bluebeard's Bride. You're playing different aspects of her. So there's things like the Animus. There's things like the Mother, the Maiden or Virgin.
Yep.
The
Witch.
The Witch. So you're all playing different aspects of the bride. So you are co-optive playing.
Okay, so that's why you need that many people to play, because each... you need X amount of aspects to be able to tell the story?
Yes.
Yep.
And you have moves that you can do. This is the time period when you're going through the house discovering rooms. So what I love the most about this game is that you describe the key that you are going to use, and that makes the GM, or the groundskeeper, I think is what they're called, describe the room.
Yep.
So I have an old character sheet from when we played it and that other time when we lost the footage for Glitter Dice, where I drew all of the keys. And it was so much fun. It was so much fun.
And then you need the people as well, because when you're doing the character generation, you work together to make, as you... describe different aspects of the bride together. So, like, one of them describes, like, her hair. The other describes her eyes, her skin,
her
dress. Yeah. It was so much fun.
Oh, see, I'm really... because you guys have played this and I haven't. And I was curious how we were going to manage that. Other than... I mean, we're gaming the stream and drinking. The stream will go long. Like, should we do character generation ahead of time? But it sounds like it's really integral to being part of the play.
Yeah.
It is also a 2 to 4 hour game.
Yeah, so we might want to do this as its own thing. But
an extra.
It's still really,
I'd love
really...
to do this.
Yeah, no, I definitely am willing to. I just, yeah. Not have it in me today.
No, I know.
Each aspect has their own set of moves that they can do. So, for example, if you are playing the maiden part of the bride, you can care for someone, you can investigate a mysterious object, and you can take stock. If you are playing the animus, there is... where is the animus?
Yeah, because when you go into a room, it's not just an empty room. There's other NPCs that you can interact with. And it also doesn't have to just be the castle. Like, you can have it take place other times.
Yeah.
One of the ones I do want to run at some point, I'm not saying that the next one will be that, is the insane asylum one, where Bluebeard...
well,
puts her in the asylum, and...
spoiler alert, our bride got put into an asylum. she survived, but she was crazy.
Yeah.
You don't always survive the game.
Yeah, there are plenty of points where you can fail, And she dies. Or goes crazy. Or both.
Yeah, and what was really, really neat is at the end of the game, whether you live or die, a part of you becomes part of the house, and you describe as a group the new room that appears for this character. This character makes a room. It's very
cool. That sounds so great.
It's really neat. I highly recommend.
Who are we going to invite to play with us?
We'll figure that out.
Yeah.
So,
I have ideas.
On with the Halloween theme. Our first thought with this, which we're going to kind of go to, I guess. We're going to run a little long, I suppose. Do you have a favorite ghost story that you want to tell for our Halloween stream? Because I do have one that I thought about.
I think I just did with Bluebeard's Bride, so.
There you go. You just did. I don't have any that aren't actual shit that happened to me, so.
That'll
it's not really a ghost story, I guess.
That's the next thing with the favorite Halloween adventures, or just Halloween adventures.
And sorry, everybody, I took off.
I do have a ghost story. This is a story that I was told when I was in high school by our assistant teacher. She was called something else. She's, you know, the teacher that was helping with the class. And she was told this story by her grandfather who this happened to. Allegedly. We're gonna go ahead and say allegedly here. So when her grandfather was young, it was the early 1920s, and he lived in a mountain town, one of those towns that is, you know, probably run off of coal or what have you coming up out of the mountains. But the thing that was the most prominent about this particular town were the winding roads that went around these mountains to get to the road. And it was the 1920s, so people didn't wear seat belts. Cars were very new. But you always had those kind of, you know, folks that would careen around the roads with no care in the world, and then they would get into accidents. So they had a cemetery set up, part of the cemetery set up, for these accident victims, because again, it was early 20s, nobody had their IDs on them, so they weren't able to ID these people when they would get into a wreck and they would die. So they just buried them in these, on these, they were marked, but they didn't have any names on them, just as part of the graveyard that these car wreck victims were buried in. So, her grandfather is hanging out with his friends one day near the little general store that they've got. And earlier, a storm had rolled in. It was gray and dark, threatening to rain. And as they are standing outside, they see this woman approach. She's wearing a blue dress, it's muddy at the hem, matted dark hair, and she walks into the store, and they're curious, so they follow in, and she goes and she picks up a bottle of milk, takes it to the register, and the gentleman said, well, it's 5 cents, because, again, 1920s. And she looks at him very sadly and just shakes her head, and he feels sorry for her, like, the way that she looks. She obviously has been in something. He says, fine, you can go ahead and take it. So she takes the bottle of milk and leaves. And they don't think too much of it, you know. This happens every now and then, somebody who's down on their luck. But they didn't recognize her. They didn't... somebody they'd never seen before. It's a pretty small town. The next day, they're back playing, hanging out, whatever they're doing, outside the general store. And they see the same woman approach. She's wearing the same blue dress, muddy at the hem, the same matted dark hair. She walks into the store and takes out a little bottle of milk and takes it to the register. And the gentleman says, it's 5 cents. And she looks at him very sadly and shakes her head. And he says, okay, go ahead, you can take it. So by this point, the boys are very curious. And they decide they're going to follow her. So she has her little glass of milk. It's a glass bottle. And they're following her at a distance. And she goes up over the hill. And they stop and they look at each other. And they say, you know it's over that hill, right? It's the cemetery where they bury the car crash victims. And they go up over the hill and they don't see her. So they go to, I think it was the police, the coroner or something, and they say, listen, there's this woman that's been getting milk and disappearing. What's going on? And the policeman says, that's odd. There was a wreck the other day. A woman and her baby were killed in this car wreck and buried them. And he said, that's really strange. But okay, maybe it's just a coincidence. The next day, the woman comes back. So this time, they're very, very concerned. Same thing happens, same song and dance. And they get the shopkeeper to come with them this time. And they watch her walk over the hill, and they follow her, and she's not there. Empty road. So finally the shopkeeper somehow convinces the police to dig up the grave, because something is happening. And, you know, maybe if they see the body, they can be like, okay, it's not her, it's just some random person who's disappearing behind the gravestones. So they dig up the coffin, and they open it. And in the coffin is a woman in a tattered blue dress with mud at the hem, matted dark hair, and a bundle beside her, and it's moving. And there are 3 empty milk bottles beside it. And the baby survived. So that's one of my favorite ones, because it just...
That is an excellent, excellent ghost story.
That's cool.
Oh.
Yay!
I asked my TA in that class, I was very...
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think about Wraith. If you guys have ever played Wraith, I know you like no white.
I've always wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
It's so dark, though. It's hard. And it's like, I can only imagine. Like, my brain went to that story as she was telling it, and I was like, as soon as you mentioned the baby, I was like, oh. Because in Wraith, there's no way you would ever make the roll to be able to manifest enough to pick up the goddamn milk. Like, it's so, it's so hard.
I always wanted to do it because I love the... Scott had picked up the Shadow Player's Guide for Wraith. And I just reading through that, I'm like, oh my gosh, I just want to play a game like that where you play the other person, like the other person's antagonist. That sounds so cool.
It's finding your tether. That's a really good story. Yay.
Well, it is, you know, it is 9 o'clock. Do you want to try and tell some more? Or do we want to?
I mean, I'm fine. I figured we were going ahead and playing a game and we'd go a little long, and I have wine. But I know Ray doesn't feel good.
Yeah, I'm good if it's about a normal hour.
Okay. Well, we'll go ahead and early. With that spooky story.
Yay.
Happy Halloween. Ooh. And you can tell us your favorite ghost story by emailing us at geekgrills@gmail.com. or you can tweet us at Geek Grills. We also, you know, we do have a Facebook page. I post a picture of myself as Pink Diamond on the Facebook page, so.
Oh, excellent. Yep. Maybe I'll make Rob pick a picture to put up, but probably not till after karaoke debut next week.
Post-karaoke picture.
Post-karaoke.
Because this costume was like, going ahead and doing the makeup test tonight and going to go ahead and people actually watch a stream would see it. Other than that, like, my friends mostly don't know this is happening. And so part of Ray's costume was our cover image.
Yeah.
Medicine <recently. Minus> eye.
So what are you most anticipating coming up? Ember?
Halloween again! Yay!
Woo!
Hey. I mentioned before, I got the last pub crawl ticket for Halloween Day at the Carolina Renaissance Festival. So
awesome!
And I was telling people about that today, and some people don't know that even exists still, because they had it 1 year, they canceled last year, and this year, now it's like they're doing it every weekend, but the tickets still went fast.
Yeah.
And Rob at least gets to, you know, VIP park with me. It's such a good bargain. I know you guys looked at it, too, from when you guys were coming. But I'm going to go ahead. I got the VIP parking, reserved joust seating, a mug, and some kind of entertainment from pub to taste the brews at the festival. So I'm really excited about that. I'm super curious about the entertainment. I feel like the mayor needs to be one of those people. I mean, that would make sense, right? And Lindsay, who we've had on the show before and will have on again, is married to him. And yeah, I've met him a few times. So like, I hope he's part of it too. So that'll be fun. What else am I looking forward to? Oh, I heard from the shelters today. So tomorrow I will be dropping off the Halloween fairy horde of costumes. And I loved how she put it to me, because I got the email today and she was like, let me know when you can drop them off and then I can schedule the children shopping. Because like, we have enough of a selection now. I always make sure we at least meet the needs of the kids they have, but I've been collecting for a long time and storing, and like, I've got 65 costumes right now.
Selection now.
Yeah. Nice. Really
cool.
So, I mean, I have the range of kids and genders and ages, but they're going to actually, there's enough for them to choose their costumes. And I spent a little more than I wanted this year, but I've never had a bunch of 16-year-olds at a time. So it's like, okay, they have to have choices too. I mean, it's hard to even get that kids to participate. That age of child to participate often. So I'll be dropping those off tomorrow, and I'm really excited about it. As I mentioned, karaoke with the costume. I don't know if it's looking forward to.
You'll kill it.
It's spending time psyching myself up. I have to find that confidence. So, yeah, that's about it. That and getting this tattoo healed up. But it seems to be going very well so far. What are you looking forward to, Ray? Other than feeling better? Feel better.
Yeah, definitely need to feel better tomorrow at the very least. This Friday, the My Hero Academia third movie, World's Hero Rising, or World's Heroes Mission, excuse me, is released. So I bought tickets a while ago. So me and Scott are going to go on a date. We're going to go see that movie during the afternoon before anybody else can come in. And I'm not stuck in the theater with like a bajillion sneezing children, which is my big worry. And also that way I can get it seen before we go out of town for Gods, the Gardens of Destiny's LARP. And then that Sunday is Halloween, which is my anniversary, which is why we're doing the date thing early to kind of even it out. So that way when I get home, we can just like pass out candy for all the kids. So I'm super excited about that.
Yay.
And this year, because I have an abundance of McDonald's toys and no children to give McDonald's toys to, I'm going to give the kids the McDonald's toys and candy because I don't need all these toys, but I like Happy Meals.
I'll take the Disney 50th anniversary ones if you got them.
I have a couple of them. The only one I was keeping was the BB-8 because BB-8 should stay in the house.
Yeah. I got a Daisy while I was out at Disney World, so.
Okay, like yeah. I think I've got two of those I could put aside for you.
Thumbs up.
That's pretty much it. Yep.
Thank you, Linda.
As for me, I am looking forward to Gardens of Destiny because this is my debut of my new character. If I, you know, get a negative rapid test, it all depends on that. I am also looking forward to the Carolina Ren Fair coming up in a couple weeks. Get to do our Christmas pirates. I'm very excited about that.
We're all going to be in the same place at the same time.
No! Fighting. I'm also planning on buying a game that I just saw somebody else play. Like, I watch a lot of Let's Plays because I don't have a lot of time to game myself. Markiplier just played a game called Potion Craft, and it really looks delightful. It's just like you're an alchemist that's learning how to potion, and like, it's really just kind of chill and just looks really fun. So I think I might go ahead and buy that and make some time to maybe play a game.
It's fun. I always like crafting. Gameplay, too.
Yes.
So remember, folks, you can always come watch us record live at twitch.tv/geekgrills on most Monday evenings. Our next one will be on November 8th, which will be like right after we all just went to Ren Faire together. But we don't have a topic set up yet because we'll have our production meeting next week. But check our schedule because after that production meeting next week, we'll post that for you.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition to the subs and bits that we get on Twitch, we are supported by our amazing patrons, the greatest girlfriends on the internet. You can become a patron at www.patreon.com/grills. And if you have Amazon Prime, you can sub to us for free every month on Twitch.
And another way to show your support is by leaving us a review. You can do so on any of your podcast catchers. Be sure to check out what topics we're going to do in the next month on our schedule below on our Twitch page. And if you're a patron, you can suggest a topic for us. We'd love to hear your ideas. So where can we find you girls on the interwebs?
I can be reached at 9of12, that's NINEOF12, on Twitter and Twitch, and you can hear me on the Heresy and Hearsay podcast.
You can find me on Instagram under DappleDame and on Twitch as Ray Aino.
And you can find me on Twitch and Instagram under the name Madcap_Misc, it's M-I-S-C. You can check out my store at madcapm.com. Thanks for listening, everyone. Good game.
GG.
GG.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.